Hey, good morning. I'd like to call this meeting of the California Water Commission to order. And want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. So we'll take roll call.
Absolutely. Commissioner Baker.
Here.
Commissioner Ball.
Present.
Chairman Byrne. Not here. Commissioner Curtin.
Here.
Commissioner Del Bosque.
Here.
Commissioner Herrera.
Here.
Commissioner Keg.
Here.
Commissioner Orth. Absent. Commissioner Quintero.
Here.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Before we get started, I would like to recognize two members of the commission staff who have taken other positions with DWR. Is that too close, sir? And today is Beth Madero's last meeting with the commission. Yeah, I was surprised, too. Beth has provided administrative support, handled meeting logistics, and managed travel for the commission since January of 2015. So we'd like to wish her luck in her new position.
What's her new position?
Yeah, what is your new position, Beth?
I'm in the business office under contract services.
Okay. I'm sure you'll do very well. Been a very diligent worker here. And then Rachel Belanti also has recently accepted a different position with DWR. Rachel began working as an analyst for the commission when it was revived in late 2010 and was invaluable in organizing the commission and its meetings. In 2013, Rachel was promoted to staff services manager. In this role, she provided additional leadership and significant policy support to the commission, and served as the assistant executive officer. Rachel took on additional responsibility for program and policy development and implemented in April 2016 when she assumed the role of program manager. In addition to fulfilling her regular duties, Rachel served as acting executive officer for the commission from January 2015 to June 2015, and again in July 2016 to November 2016. Her strong leadership guided the commission through critical points in the water storage investment program. Rachel's work with the commission has been invaluable, and we wish her success in her new role. So thank you. Yes, anybody wish to say a few words? Commissioner Herrera?
I would just like to thank Beth and Rachel for all of your work. I mean, the two of you together have really made, you know, our responsibilities a lot easier. And so I really want to thank you and wish you the best as you continue to move forward here with the department. I can remember many times emailing Beth last minute, can you still do this for me? And within 15 minutes, it was done. So I know where it's a huge loss for us, but obviously a gain for another department. And Rachel, just thank you for always, you know, doing the best that you can with a smile on your face. I think that's the one thing I will always remember, is that you always had a smile on your face, and you are extremely competent. I mean, you have just taken on so many different roles, and so thank you so much for all of your work.
Commissioner Ball.
Rachel, you've been here from the beginning, and we've been through a lot together. You've seen a lot of ups and downs, both good and bad, but you have always been there, and you've worked hard, and you've done a good job, and I really appreciate your efforts, especially stepping in a couple of times and when I know it was a little bit challenging for you. And so thank you so much, and I wish you all the best in your future endeavors. Beth, thank you for doing a lot for us, and thank you, and I wish you all the best as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to say we wish you well, but we're going to miss you. It's been a long journey since the beginning, especially with Rachel, gone through so much. And so we appreciate the many years of service to the commission. Thank you. Okay. All right. So we are at the minutes. If everybody has had a chance to look at the minutes, and if so, would like a motion?
So yes. Moved.
To approve.
We got a motion to approve and a second. Any? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ball?
Yes.
Commissioner Curtin?
Yes.
Commissioner Del Bosque?
Yes.
Commissioner Herrera?
Yes.
Commissioner Keg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Quintero?
Yes.
Motion carries. And now we'll go to the executive officer's report.
Great. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year, everyone, and nice to see the commissioners on this side of 2017. I, too, would like to thank staff, particularly Beth and Rachel, and for all of the work that they have done, and I really just appreciate having come on and joined the team in June of 2016 to work closely with Rachel in her acting executive officer role, and it truly was a pleasure. And the level of professionalism that was there with particularly a very small staff that had quite a lot to do, it really was a pleasure to join that team. So thank you, Rachel, for all of your work and for helping to pave the way, and I was very happy to provide the support that I could in working with you. And Beth, you will be greatly missed, as the logistics are something that doesn't always get the limelight, but is very critical to particularly public forums such as this. So Beth, thank you very much for all of your work, and we wish both of you the best of luck in your new endeavors and hope to cross paths soon. For the rest of my executive officer's report, first I'll talk about the water storage investment program. I know we don't have that really on our agenda today, but we do want to report that we are on track with getting the regulations and the whole package over to the Office of Administrative Law. So we are set to meet that deadline, which would be towards the end of next week, I believe. And so we have, there are just a few kind of formalities that we are going through leading up to getting that into the OAL. And additionally, we have provided for commissioners the California Water Action Plan Implementation Report. This is a 2016 summary of accomplishments, so you all should have a copy of this. And for the public, we may not have all the copies, but this is available on the resources website, California Natural Resources Agency website, and also we provided a link on our California Water Commission website. So the California Water Action Plan is a five-year framework with 10 overarching goals designed to bring sustainability to California water resources and restoration to its most important ecosystems. And the California Water Commission has played a role in carrying out some of these actions, and so we're very supportive and pleased to provide the summary of accomplishments along with the Resources Agency, the California Department of Food and Agriculture, and California Environmental Protection Agency. Additionally, we have taken some of our outreach, public outreach documents, and have been able to get them translated into Spanish. This is particularly of interest to several of the commissioners. We are still working on other documents that we can translate, but we focused our efforts on the public outreach components. So we do now have a copy of a public outreach document online in Spanish, and I'll continue to update you with additional translation services and information that we can provide on that. So we're very, very pleased to report that. So that concludes my executive officer report.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, at this time, we'll take some public testimony. Anything that we'd like to take testimony that on anything that's not, yes?
Could I ask Darren a question?
Sure.
Could you give us just a quick rundown on what the timeline is on the regs and when we might actually be trying to get project proposals in the door?
Yes, and I may seek a little bit of assistance from our council here, but we do have a deadline of, I believe, January 28th. Is that right? 26th for the Office of Administrative Law, so that gets our regulations in the full package. So what was adopted, and then all of the final statement of reasons and approval from Department of Finance that we're currently seeking, that goes in. And then they have a 30-day review period within OAL. Now, during that time, this is where I'm actually going to ask Holly to provide a little more insight, because there could be some exchanges with OAL during that review period.
Sure. So, and one minor clarification, it's a 30 working days, so it's not 30 calendar days. There's adds about 2 weeks to their review time. What will happen once they receive the file is they will start looking through it. They have a checklist that they go through. It's online. They'll go through it with their standards. They may call probably me because I'm going to be listed as the contact person for them. They're going to call if they have questions. I don't anticipate hearing anything from them immediately, simply because they've got to get into it, figure out what the regs are about. The Office of Administrative Law, of course, reviews regs for the entire state, so they don't have subject matter experts on water or anything like that. So about, I'm guessing, and this is a guess, probably 4 weeks into their review, I'll start getting some questions and some calls, because there's just going to be something somewhere that needs to be changed, edited, whatever. And we'll deal with that as it comes up. The goal, obviously, is to get them to approve it. That approval should happen towards the end of that time frame. And then once that happens, we are asking that the regulations be made effective on filing with the Secretary of State instead of on the quarterly March 1, June 1 dates.
So is that when the OAL files them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So OAL will go and file it.
Sort of a mid-March period that they'll likely or hopefully?
That's the goal. Okay. I mean, we have to meet our deadline, and they have a strict statutory 30 working day deadline as well. If they don't get through their 30-day working deadline, they're approved as filed. So okay. It's I've never heard of that happening, but that's what happens. They file them with the Secretary of State. They'll be effective on filing. And from there, all of the timelines that are in the regulations start taking effect.
So just go through those quickly, if you don't mind. Just a public period of response?
So there's no response. It's just the applications can open as soon as we can open the website. And the five-month application period and a six-month technical review period. And then the commission, and of course, during that time, all of the items that are in the regulations, including potential defects in applications, all those sorts of things would be brought to the commission, just as is stated in the regulations.
So we will be providing more information, more in-depth information on the implementation process. What we wanted to do was get through this initial providing of OAL all of the information before we came back with specifics, because we didn't want to preempt anything. But we are working on a bigger calendar and something that will be a little easier for the commission to wrap their heads around the type of work that you'll have to be preparing for. 2017 doesn't require the same amount of timing and attention from the commission as 2018 will. However, one of the agenda items today is talking about our 2017 work plan, and that's going to be part of this discussion, so we can actually, I'm sure, follow up and, on that agenda item with this issue as well.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, then we'll go to the public comment period, and this will be for any comments that are subjects that are not on the agenda, any general comments. We'd like to limit comments to 3 minutes. And if you have any comments on specific agenda items, please submit for a card to Bree over here on your left side of your room. And I do have a couple of cards already for this general comment period. We'll start off with Robert Dugan of SAC Metro Chamber.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chair, members, staff. My name is Robert Dugan. I'm the Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Development for the Sacramento Metro Chamber of Commerce. And I'm really honored to be here representing our 1,700 member business, local government, and civic organizations representing the greater Sacramento six-county capital region. And I'm here today to vocalize our support for Sites Reservoir and to ask for your engagement and leadership in helping us make sure we get Sites Reservoir developed. As you know, California's reservoir systems here in Northern California were built to serve Northern California communities, as well as to provide water for farms and cities in Central and Southern California. And that's something that we as a region certainly embrace and a responsibility we take seriously. But as demand has grown and endangered species have arisen, you know that diversions and demands have outstripped our ability to supply during dry years. And in normal and wet years, however, there's a surplus water in our river systems, as we're seeing today, you know, right outside my window. I got to watch as we had to increase outflows and watch that number hit that magic 31 mark so we could open the bypass for flood control. You know, if we had additional storage, instead of watching water travel under the Golden Gate, we could do something with that water to prepare for those dry years. Instead, as in 14 and 15, we watched that water and we watched the water that was produced by conservation measures just flow straight down through the Delta and out through the Golden Gate. In the Capital Region, we've seen Folsom Reservoir increasingly overutilized to provide water for endangered species and water quality in the Delta to the detriment of our local supplies and our local economy. And we know, and we've embraced the fact that Sites Reservoir, being approximately double the size of Folsom Reservoir, could have dramatically reduced the need to drain Folsom to such low levels every year to alleviate Delta concerns. We urge the state of California to support and invest in sites through Proposition 1, allowing for up to half of the yield to be directed for environmental benefit, thereby lessening the environmental burden that's placed on Folsom during those dry years. With increased storage in a location, and people get tired of hearing me say this, but with increased storage in a location that's hydrologically above the Delta, like sites, right? And if we have a solid operating plan, we know that we can first protect water supply reliability for the North State that is being jeopardized by diversion. Second, we can create stable supplies for the environmental protections that we all consider to be important, right, and have that reliable supply. And third, we can increase that water supply reliability for the rest of the state, Central and Southern California. And that's something that can't be said about a similar investment if we do it below the Delta, because if we invest below the Delta, that water doesn't flow through the Delta and help us meet those environmental concerns. So sites uniquely meet several of what I would consider to be our shared goals, certainly for the state of California and absolutely for Northern California and the Sacramento Capital Region. So we believe, obviously, that the sites project is a smart, cost-effective solution to some of California's most challenging water issues. It brings significant public benefits for increased water supplies and environmental flows for fish and other wildlife, and improved water quality. And I'll just close with what we're hearing, which is that if sites were in place today, DWR has estimated that we would have been able to capture and store over 580,000 acre feet through January 17th. So we would encourage your leadership. We're here to support and stand with you and advocate for this important investment. And we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. All right, next we'll hear from Sean Bigley from the City of Roseville.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Sean Bigley. I'm with the City of Roseville. Last night, our Roseville City Council actually took up a resolution in support of the Sites Reservoir Project. It was a 5-0 vote. The city of Roseville is probably most of you know, is the city of about 140,000 people. It's actually a job center here in the region, so we have a very vibrant economy. And so basically, with respect to Folsom Reservoir, our water supply is Folsom Reservoir. And so we saw firsthand in our backyard what 2014 and 2015 looked like with respect to the reservoir. There was the specter of a possible Deadpool situation at that point in time, and so it was quite a quite a, not that we don't plan for things like this, but it was certainly something that, that captured our attention and the region's attention. So with respect to Sites Reservoir, as Robert eloquently stated, really has a lot of benefits, not only statewide, but specifically for how it could be operated in tandem with some of our existing reservoirs. Folsom Reservoir, often because of its proximity to the Delta, is exercised very heavily, basically to meet water quality needs in the Bay Delta. And so what we see, the tremendous benefit for Sites Reservoir, among many things, is that Sites Reservoir can be integrated into the statewide water system and be operated in tandem to relieve some of that pressure from Folsom Reservoir. So for the city of Roseville, that's an extremely important benefit that we're interested in. What we also appreciate about the Sites Reservoir, proposed Sites Reservoir project that you'll be looking at very shortly, is that it also is respectful of the environment in terms of how the reservoir is actually going to be constructed as an off-stream facility. Also that the public benefits are numerous for the project, including benefits for the environment, Bay Delta, with respect to water quality, cold water pool, things like that. So the this project, we think, is really important not only for water supply, but it also is important for the environment and also for the statewide water system. And so with respect to Sites Reservoir, again, we appreciate this commission looking at the project very seriously when it comes to making decisions. We strongly support the project. Our city council strongly supports the project. And we look forward to your leadership in terms of helping to move this project forward and ultimately getting the project built for the benefit not only for our city, but also for the state, which, again, we feel is numerous. So thank you again for your leadership and appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Yes, so a question here.
Do you happen to know what the status of Folsom is now?
Folsom Reservoir is, I haven't looked in a couple days, but it is I believe it's around 120% of normal. I think it was around 650,000 acre feet.
So the American River is running pretty high right now.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And it's still raining pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
So are they releasing water in terms of flood control issues right now?
Yeah, they are in, they've been kind of hitting the flood control curve. So we saw up to about 90,000 cubic feet per second flowing into the reservoir. So that's a lot of water coming in. Off the top of my head, I believe they were pushing about 40,000 CFS out at one point. And this was last week when we had the first sort of atmospheric river event. So, things are looking better. We are seeing quite a bit of water running through the reservoir at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Next we'll hear from Linda Dorn. I believe.
Good morning, Chair, Commission members. My name is Linda Dorn, and I'm an Environmental Program Manager with Sacramento Regional County Sanitation District. We're also known as Regional SAN. And Regional SAN appreciates the opportunity to comment on the Prop 1 Water Storage Investment Program regulations. We provide wastewater treatment to approximately 1.4 million residents and businesses in the greater Sacramento area. With the future completion of our wastewater treatment plant upgrades, known as the Echo Water Project, all of our plants, approximately 167,000 acre feet per year of treated water, would meet water recycling standards and could be available for additional water recycling and groundwater storage and enhancement opportunities. We are dedicated to protecting, conserving, and restoring water resources in California, and know that the Water Storage Investment Program offers an excellent opportunity to help fund projects that will enhance the resiliency of our water system while protecting and providing public benefits to ecosystems. What we'd like to provide is a specific comment today regarding the application period for the Water Storage Investment Program. The most recent timeline shows the application period closing in early July 2017. And given the complicated, time-consuming, and expensive nature of preparing this application that will be required under the program, we think an additional month would provide us and others opportunity to prepare the best possible application. So we would like to reiterate our appreciation for the opportunity to give our feedback on the development of the program and believe that an extra 30 days would serve everyone better. Questions?
Any questions?
I understand. Yeah. We've got a deadline. Yeah, and part of the conversation is if we say, okay, we're going to push it back before we even, yeah. So we're going to encourage you to get that paperwork done.
Yes, and we will. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You didn't scare Rachel because she's not going to be here to do that.
Are there any other comments of
Robert Gore from the Walco Group. One of our clients is Safeco. And to answer Commissioner Curtin's question, Folsom Reservoir is currently at about 409 feet. Or about 1,000 acre feet of storage. It's down 37% from a couple days ago because of the releases. It's just the numbers for you. We can talk later. Thanks. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. No, good information. Okay. It's come to my attention that I skipped over one of the agenda items, so we're going to come back to item 5. That okay? Am I breaking any rules by coming back? All right. So are there any commission member reports? None? Okay. I do have one. I was asked to comment at the San Joaquin Valley Infrastructure Group. I don't remember the exact name of it. They were requesting an update of the water storage investment program. And I do want to bring up one of their concerns was being able to get their paperwork in by those 5 months. Evidently, it's going to be a heavy task for them to get that done. So that is something that we may think about, that some of these projects may be take a little more time than they have available. So,
can I ask a clarifying question on that?
Sure.
The 5 months starts when it goes to Secretary of State, right?
So as the proposed regulations are drafted, the 5 months would start as soon as we send out a notice indicating that the application period has opened. When that can start is as soon as the regulations are filed with the Secretary of State. But there might be a day or two lag between filing with the Secretary of State and getting that notice out.
So on the mid-March deadline that you said earlier, expectation, that would take us to mid-August before the application process would be closed. Right. So that does give you your extra month. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments or questions? Okay, so now we'll go to item 7. We have an action item.
Here we go. Good morning, members of the commission. As you know, I'm Brianna Shoemaker. I'm an analyst on commission staff, and I prepared the draft 2016 annual review of the state water project for you. The commission is required to conduct an annual review of the state water project and produce a report with any findings and recommendations it may have, and that's required by Water Code Section 165. Once the report is completed, it's sent to DWR and the legislature. So I'm just going to sort of give you a high-level review of the report we have in front of you and take any questions or comments you may have. So we start with the key issues in the Water Commission's annual review, which is a summary of state water project-related activities that the Commission has conducted in the past calendar year. As you are aware, we were very focused on the Water Storage Investment Program in 2016, and that took up the majority of your time. So this section is a summary of the May 2016 briefing that the Commission received from Acting Deputy Director Mark Anderson. There are just some key points of that briefing and things that the Commission was interested in at that time. And from there, we move on to the Commission's findings and recommendations regarding the State Water Project. The first topic is impacts to the State Water Project and water deliveries during severe droughts. And the Commission here is commending DWR on its ability to continue delivering vital water supplies during the drought, and recommending that DWR continue to incorporate the State Water Project into overall state drought planning. The next topic is increased reliability of the State Water Project and other water systems through investments in water storage. As you know, any projects funded by the Water Storage Investment Program must improve the operation of the statewide water system. So we will likely have impacts to the State Water Project once the Commission starts funding projects through the WISP. The regulations encourage proponents to consider system-wide benefits when formulating water storage projects, and the Commission will continue to collaborate with DWR to support actions that improve water supply reliability. Next, we address efforts to maintain and improve state water project operations and facilities. This section summarizes some of the major maintenance and restoration actions that DWR undertook in 2016, including some of the emergency outages that Deputy Director Anderson addressed in May. And the Commission is supporting DWR's efforts to improve and maintain state water project facilities, which is crucial to the continued operation of the State Water Project. The next topic is ongoing efforts to address long-term State Water Project staffing needs. As some of you may recall, the Commission has been engaged in this topic since 2002 when it supported wage increases for State Water Project staff. And the State Water Project has seen significant improvements in recruitment and retention since that time. We do have one probably minor update to this section. We do mention that one of the bargaining units was in negotiation for a contract, but since this report was drafted, the California Department of Human Resources reached a tentative agreement with Unit 12, which represents operating engineers, and that tentative agreement was submitted to the legislative analyst and members of the legislature in December, and the previous contract remains in effect until the new agreement is ratified. So if you approve the report today, we would like to make that minor update to the report before we send it out. Danny, you look like
you have a question. Do you have any idea what that agreement is, just in rough terms?
There are some standard incremental wage increases.
When we were involved originally on this, it was a very substantial increase. So is this just more or less in line with the increases that are across the board? Did you have any idea?
I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. I was looking at it yesterday and, just sort of incremental.
Well, at least they're agreeing. That's the key. So whatever it is.
Here we're saying that the Commission, of course, applauds these improvements, but of course, continuing to focus on this issue remains critical to the operation of the State Water Project. So recommending that DWR continue to focus on agreements with key bargaining units, as well as supporting DWR's attention to recruitment, retention, and succession planning for State Water Project staff. Our final topic in the findings and recommendations is sustainable energy use for the State Water Project. And we received some information about that in May 2016. And we're basically saying we commend DWR's efforts to increase solar power utilization for the State Water Project. And we plan to request future updates on progress toward reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Following the findings and recommendations, there is an overview of the State Water Project, which is some basic information on the State Water Project, plants and numbers, all sorts of basic info that I know you all know. And the next section addresses operations and includes updated water delivery and power generation and usage information. This year's report includes complete water delivery and power numbers for 2015, as well as numbers for 2016 through September. Those were the most recent numbers available at the time we drafted the report. And then we have a lengthy section on the construction, the status of construction projects. That information was provided by DWR staff and incorporated by us into the report. It first addresses some of the refurbishment projects that are happening at Hyatt Power Plant in Oroville. Oh my goodness. which includes refurbishment of the turbine shutoff valve, the Hyatt Fire Protection Modernization, and the Oroville Dam River Valve Outlet System. And the commission has heard about most, if not all, of these projects, most of them over the course of a few years as they have progressed and taken shape. There's an update on refurbishment of Ronald B. Roby Thermalito Power Plant, which, as you are aware, caught on fire shortly after you renamed it in 2012. So DWR has concluded the fire cleanup project in April 2014 and is embarking on a restoration of the plant, which is expected to conclude in January 2019. There's an update on the North Bay Aqueduct Alternate Intake Project, which would improve deliveries in Solano County and Napa County. There's an update on seismic remediation of Paris Dam in Riverside County, which has been going on for a few years, and there are a few components to that project that are outlined in the report. There's a summary of improvements and extension on the State Water Project East Branch in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. And there is a summary of the emergency repairs that were discussed at the May 2016 meeting. And much of that information is what you did already here in May 2016. There's also a summary of DWR's renewable energy procurement efforts. DWR does have power purchase agreements for two solar facilities that you heard summarized in May 2016, and those plants did come into operation in December 2016, so that is that's an update for you. And DWR is preparing to issue a request for proposals to install solar structures on a couple DWR properties. There are also, at the end of the report, brief summaries of California WaterFix and EcoRestore. The WaterFix summary is just a high-level overview of work that has occurred so far, and the EcoRestore summary addresses much of the work that's been done to date, including work in the Yolo Bypass that the commission heard about early last year, and some information about upcoming restoration projects. That concludes our summary of the report.
Yes, Commissioner Ball.
So that's a really good report. I'm sure you put a lot of time and effort into getting all the information, even though it was a little bit difficult to say at times. In looking through these numbers, that it appears that there have been quite a few failures of hydroelectric pumping, generating units, the fire. Is there a concern that there is deferred maintenance that's not taking place?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm definitely not the expert on that subject, but I'm not aware of any concern on that front. DWR does have a considerable amount of effort put into continued maintenance and restoration of the State Water Project facilities. Obviously, many of the facilities are aging and just require constant maintenance, particularly with regard to the fire. DWR is engaging in fire modernization at many of the Oroville facilities, and once the Thermalito power plant comes back online, it will have an updated fire safety system.
So the downside of the Thermalito plant being off as a result of the fire, is that just a loss of hydroelectric generating capacity?
It is. When Thermalito's online, DWR is also able to have a pump back operations in the Oroville complex. So bringing it back online will enable them to increase power generation at times when it's not needed.
Okay.
Storage.
Okay, that's great. And then the Alamo power plant, that's merely putting another turbine into an existing well that was that's been sitting empty for quite some time. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, and that's just a net benefit to the system. Yeah.
Yes.
And when will that be completed?
I'm not sure if there is a timeline on that, because it does depend on whether or not DWR is able to get cap and trade funding for that project.
Yeah, and so I would strongly encourage that to be accomplished. I know that every year it seems to get pushed down as a priority for funding, and I would say that because it's just quite simply a net benefit to the system, and there is an existing well there, that putting that in would certainly provide a net improvement to the system. And I don't know, is there anything that we can do to encourage that as a group?
Well,
help with that?
We could, if it's the wish of the commission, we could include that as a recommendation in this report, if everyone would like that.
We as a commission went, and I forget who was there. Do you remember when we went down there to that plant?
To Thermalitos?
No, to Alamo. It's out in the middle of nowhere, and as you look at this, you know, massive amount of water going through there and the generating capacity that has, they had an empty well there for a generating pump turbine, and the net benefit to the system far outweighs the cost. I mean, within a single year of operation, it pays for itself. And it seems to me that it would be something that is a real waste at having that not go in. And yet it has continued to not get the funding that it needs. It keeps getting pushed down as a matter of priority. So I would like to propose to the commission that is something that we recommend is a net improvement to the system and something that should be done sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I think Carol had her hand up first.
Yeah. And maybe to that end, and I don't know the processes, but I was wondering whether or not it's helpful for the commission to send a letter along with because it indicates here that the funding request was deferred by the Air Board and then requested DWR to resubmit in the spring of 2017. So perhaps that might be helpful to DWR. Just a suggestion.
I'd actually like to see if we could request a presentation by the folks who are in charge of the power plants overall. And it actually ties to something else, which I've been thinking about a lot, and that is the solar power projects that are going in. And, I mean, one of the real advantages of the California Water Project is you've got all these areas of disturbed soil where you also have facilities that need power. And that combination is that you could actually – and I'm curious what the planning has been around – developing solar generation immediately adjacent to the facilities that use it, because there's transmission, there's loss of energy in transmission, right? And I think that I'd like to know what the department's doing in terms of those opportunities, and they're sort of tied together. And Thermalitos is just huge in terms of the amount of hydropower that it produces, and so that's actually been a huge. I mean, I'd be curious to know what the actual sort of estimated loss of thermoelectric power was over what will be six years, I think. That's
significant.
Yeah, yeah, and when you talk about, you know, are we behind in maintenance? It just the argument evaporates that we can't afford to be behind in maintenance if that's the case. So, and I just think that it would be good to have a discussion with the folks who are working on these projects so that we could put together a comprehensive letter from
them. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, okay.
So,
Joe?
Curtin?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I was going to recommend, rather than like a one-off on the report,
yep,
maybe we take a little bit different of an overview. You have a chart in here about the energy production and the usage. Mm-hmm. And you can see the drastic numbers. One of the first things that struck me when I got on the commission was that the Department of Water Resources spends as much money on the energy side as the water side in some respects. So it's really as much of an energy agency as it is a water agency. And the two of them together are so linked, especially now in terms of the carbon issues. So that would really be a great idea. I did want to point out to Andy, though, that I think it says here that the second unit would cost $55 million and recoup $40 million over 30 years in generation. So yeah, it doesn't sound right, but, I mean, somebody's put those numbers in there. Fundamentally, yeah. Though, if it doesn't pay for itself, we have to buy that energy anyway. So, I mean, it's a long-term investment that essentially it's a mortgage and you get it back over a long period of time. So it is very interesting to me, the energy issues. And one of my favorite topics goes, to the water, to the forest thing, too. So we need to talk about a few other connecting to different.
I'll mention something, too. One of the researchers that I work with at UC Merced, his name is Elliot Campbell. Got a grant, and he's submitting a much larger grant, and has been pursuing work around a project called Solar Canals, and it's sort of combining solar generation with canal systems because of the combination of disturbed soil sites. And he's actually looked at things like are there benefits to be gotten in terms of reducing some evaporation of water if you've got. There's a whole bunch of sort of synergistic benefits. So, for example, if you have these solar panels, and I'm not going to know the numbers, over a canal, the water actually acts as a coolant. Just the proximity of the water to these solar panels cools them down, which makes them more efficient. You reduce water evaporation, and you have that technology, as he is looking at it, could have all kinds of applications in various canal scenarios. So anyway, I think that there's some really interesting emerging work around energy efficiency and water conservation that we could look at.
Yes, Carol.
Do we want to make a proposal to that effect or just as a report to the...
We're going to come up in a later agenda item where we're going to talk about potential activities.
We can include that as part of the work plan discussion, absolutely, if I may. And I wasn't certain if Commissioner Baker had. Just to clarify on this report, and thank you very much, Bree, this is something that we do provide back to DWR and to the legislature, and there is no particular timestamp on it. So if we want to continue this conversation, we can determine really our strategy with how we want this report to be provided to the legislature and what it will include, if it's going to be additional letters or anything regarding may revise budget requests and things like that. So we can continue that conversation too. Because part of the question here would be if this is in a form that you'd like, that we can go ahead and send it off to the legislature, but it sounds like there's some more discussion the commission would like to have around how they would like to present this and what it may include. So I'll leave that up to you on what you'd like to do.
Carol, I think, was next.
Just a couple points. Relative to putting solar panels on the State Water Project aqueducts, there has been in the past several bills that have been introduced. I don't off the top of my head recall kind of the fate of those bills, whether or not they just never made it to the first committee, but perhaps as part of the discussion, it might be interesting to know, you know, if we are interested in that type of technology, what the fate of those bills were in terms of concerns or whatever. And then the other was just a side question. I noticed that DWR is investing heavily in solar. I was wondering, many moons ago when I had DWR's budget, they were also looking at wind generation. And I was just wondering if they kind of abandoned that and have now just decided they would just invest solely in solar. Thank you.
I'm not sure about the wind, but if we, it sounds like everyone would like future presentations on especially the energy issues. Yeah. We can include that as a question prior to the presentation so you can get an update on that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Herrera.
I just had a question on the language around the request that was made to for cap and trade funds for the Alamo Power Plant. It says there that it was deferred. Do you know why it was deferred, and what's the likelihood of DWR getting funding this year?
I am not sure off the top of my head. The only information I have is that their resources board deferred the application and instructed DWR to resubmit. So I don't know any of the reasoning for the deferment.
I think that, you know, that'd be good to know why and what the, you know, if it's just they received more than a lot of requests, or what's the likelihood of this funding request being approved? Because I like the idea of sort of looking at whether or not there's additional needs that, you know, rise to the top as well, in case we do want to make like a budget request, budget revision request. I think, you know, if there's more that sort of rise to the top, I think that would be a good idea. The other question that I had was regarding the ongoing efforts to address the long-term state water project staffing needs. You talk about in the report, there's language around some of the agreements that have been reached, but I didn't see a lot of detail on sort of the DWR's efforts to improve the recruitment and retention. What specific efforts is DWR doing to recruit?
Well, at least in 2012, the main effort was by pursuing pay parity for those key positions mm-hmm. within the state water project. I'm personally not aware of any other specific efforts. Some of the commission members who were around at that time might actually remember. But as far as I'm aware, the main tactic was by trying to achieve pay parity because there was a significant gap between state pay for those key positions and private pay.
Okay. Commissioner
Just to go back a little bit on this, Maria, it was very interesting what was happening. We were running out of engineers to maintain the pumps because the pay scale was low and the local water agencies and the private sector was just taking our well-trained people and offering them more money. Yeah. Remember this? And I remember one report that struck me was that we were losing $50 million a year because we just didn't have the pumps operating to generate the electricity. Yeah. The water delivery was being maintained, and I'm not sure how all that worked, but I remember saying, well, if we gave them a $30 million raise and we got $50 million out of the energy, we'd be making $20 million. What's the holdup? But it was all tied into the HR negotiation statewide. So we ended up sending a couple of letters, but we did it, I thought, fairly, I don't want to say delicately, but we didn't just jump in and say it. We touched bases. And in terms of the issue on the funding cap and trade and stuff, there's a lot of things going on around that that go far beyond our little concerns. So my thought was if we're going to prepare a letter, it might be when we send this over to this report over to the legislature, but I think we need to have further discussions both with the DWR itself so that whatever we do is actually helpful and not just another sort of stakeholder, you know, marker that pisses everybody off or somebody. And that's what we did last time. It worked very, very well. And they sort of pulled the negotiations out of the statewide and did a side agreement. I'm not sure where we are on the retention, but I hear we're doing better. And the recruitment, it'd be interesting to hear that. So the other thing I was thinking is we might just want to get a sense of the sort of mission critical or the maintenance issues, priority issues, mm-hmm. as well as the energy nexus. So if there's anybody jotting this stuff down, the maintenance does get pushed back, as everybody's maintenance does, highways, roads, schools, everybody has to push it back because of the budgets. So I'm sure they're prioritizing what they consider to be the top maintenance issues. But if we're looking at the solar on the canals, which I've heard of and has great idea. I've also heard there's some issues around canal problems over subsidence. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, you know, maybe there's some way to, if we're going to rebuild or have to rebuild portions of the canal, we can use those portions that are already being paid for to rebuild as a sort of, a model to see how it works for the adding some renewable energy.
I have a couple comments, and one of them, Carol, with regards to the previous bills around things like solar panels over canals. I think there's new science and new knowledge around that, and so I think there's new answers that would be worthwhile for us to take a look at. And then you guys are more familiar with this, but I don't know what all the funding mechanisms are for projects that the state manages. But I do know that the university where I work, we just got a project through, which is a third-party build. And through this third-party build, we're doubling the size of the university. I know Andrew knows what that is, and you probably all do, but where, you know, a contractor comes in and puts on the project, and then for, you know, a predetermined amount of time, gets paid by the revenue generated by the project, and then at the end of some period of time, the state owns all the facilities. And I don't know if the state has done that I'm thinking about things like solar. And not to get into the weeds, but I'd be really curious to know what the various funding mechanisms have been to deal with some of these projects, because they seem like there's some real return that could be made, and if there's some way so I'd like to know what the menu is of funding mechanisms. That's the basic question.
Commissioner Ball.
Yeah, so I think that's a good question, because we keep coming back to not having enough funding for what seem to be very important issues. I think that's going to be critical. Go back to the May 2016 report by Deputy Director Mark Anderson, and again come through on refurbishments and improvements, that establishing a priority that the top infrastructure improvement on there was Alamo Power Plant, and obviously the cleanup at the Thermalito Power Plant and the Oroville valve outlet system. Those seem to be the top ones. And you're not going to not repair a valve or fire damage. So of those, what appears to be the top three from that report, we're left with Alamo, once again, the funding request being deferred. And so that's why I want to keep coming back to that and keep pointing that out, because as a matter of priority, when we did our tour 3 years ago, that was a top priority. And every year it keeps getting pushed aside. So I think it's valuable to hear back, just like we did in May. We can hear again what the priorities are. And if it continues to be, as it was back in May, a top priority, and it seemed to be a top priority 3 years ago, it's one that I would like to focus on, is getting this done and not having it continue to get pushed aside as these important maintenance issues get brought up.
Yeah.
So if this group wants to wait to make a recommendation on that based upon another presentation, I'm fine with that. But at that point in time, I think that we should, as a group, express our desires, what we believe our priorities are relative to the State Water Project improvements and infrastructure investment. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can we make an addendum to the report that basically says we really want to highlight that Alamo's an issue, and that we want to look at a variety of mechanisms to get that funded? If cap and trade's not going to work, then what other ways can we go? Because as the commissioner says, it's been a priority for 3 years, and we have issues. We need to move.
Yes, before finalizing the report, we can certainly add that into the findings and recommendations section on the efforts to address long-term maintenance issues. We could basically just say that the commission recommends prioritizing the installation of a second unit at Alamo and, you know, looking at alternative funding sources. We can add that in very easily before finalizing the report.
Yeah, you know, just one observation, too, is when you look at the concerns that were raised around maintenance issues over the last few years, this was all happening during this big drought. And so it was a you know, a double and triple whammy in a way. Mm-hmm. And so really this is also about assuring the resiliency of the State Water Project, you know, especially in times like we're just experiencing.
That's absolutely our responsibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we're really supportive.
So do I.
I can put really in there in all caps just to emphasize
you're
it.
You're really supportive.
I would like to change the focus a little bit here, and I'd like to know a little bit more about Delta operations with about 60% of the state still in drought, incredibly, because they rely on Delta operations, including 23 million people south of the Delta. I'd like to know if the Delta operations are running on all eight cylinders, as they say, and also if it's living up to the big gulp, little sip principle of trying to capture as much of these heavy flows. So with you know, talking about maintenance and staff and so forth, are they working at the maximum that they can to try to alleviate some of the drought in the South State?
I think that's certainly something we can request a presentation on in the coming months, mm-hmm. and we could also discuss it during our next item on activities for the coming year.
That's so, probably one of the things that we may want to consider, and yeah, I know that's coming up in the next item. Maybe that may be part of our inspection responsibilities.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So could I suggest that we sort of approve the report conceptually, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. that we ask the chairman to work with the department about talking about the priorities we raised so we prepare a communication to the legislature.
Okay.
And, you know, hold off sending it there until we're done, because the report itself, I think, is well done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they work hard, and for us to sit here and poke a little here or there and poke a little there, but we do want to express our priorities as well. But I certainly, I'm always conscious about expressing those priorities in a way that actually helps get things done as mm-hmm. opposed to just muddies the waters. So it would be good for the chairman and the vice chairman to have a conversation with the department and make the most out of our ability to communicate while we send that report over there. Because we've got a few things that you guys have jotted down that we want to at least hear more about mm-hmm. and then prioritize. Because they're going to be screaming and yelling about that budget pretty soon over there.
Yeah.
So, you know, a few words from us might be helpful.
I think that's a good idea about that. All right. Any other comments on this? We do need to take comments from the public, correct, on this? Any? I don't see any cards here on this speaker cards. Is there anyone that wishes to comment on this subject? Okay.
So Dan? I made a motion to approve in concept with a action to be taken at the next meeting about a communication we'll send. Does that okay. sound fair to everybody?
That's fair enough.
By approving this, we're not having this sent right on over. We are
right. We're gonna have it come back after.
Discussed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we could wait to next month, but I mean, I don't really want to change the report very much, or if at all. What we want to do is it's like an addendum that Kathy was saying, but it's a cover letter, and I think we need to talk a little bit more about that. Before
yeah, it's there's a lot of information here.
Yeah.
And it's a very good report, but I think we should dive into it and pull out our recommendations as the top priorities mm-hmm. to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just approving the review of the state water system. Is that correct?
There is an action if we. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think there was a. We directed some edits based mm-hmm. on the conversation here, and I think the edits that you summarized seem appropriate, given you know what we all were sort of where we're headed. So I would be comfortable at least directing that those revisions be made to the report and then that we work on formulating, you know, either a cover letter that goes along with the report to the department and the legislature.
Good.
which would then be brought back in February for the final vote. Okay, perfect.
On this item?
On this item. Yes.
So we don't act on it then.
No, I would imagine that this is a motion. In fact, that we're making revisions and then bringing the revised report plus working within the next month to formulate a communication to the legislature. And we'd finalize it in February. So I would imagine that we should take a vote on those few actions now. Yes.
Okay. So I'll second Danny's motion.
All right. So we got a motion and a second. Requires roll call vote.
Commissioner Baker?
Aye.
Commissioner Ball?
Aye.
Commissioner Curtin?
Aye.
Commissioner Del Bosque?
Aye.
Commissioner Herrera?
Aye.
Commissioner Keig?
Yes.
Commissioner Quintero?
Aye.
And Commissioner Orth and Byrne are not here.
Okay, motion passes. And we go to item.
Thank you, Bree.
Thank you. All right, so we go to item 8, overview of 2017 activities. Jennifer.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm pleased to be here to talk to you about the work plan for this coming year, and you've already dived into it pretty extensively in your discussion about the State Water Project. But I've been taking careful notes as to the things that you are interested in hearing more about. So we can certainly add them to this list. But I just wanted to go over with you the report that is in your binder, which is more or less an outline of some ideas for upcoming actions and activities that you may want to take on in the coming year while you have a brief respite from the Water Storage Investment Program, although that program will be taking up some of your time and attention this year as well. There are basically three kinds of items in this report, some things that we are pretty certain will be coming before you, as well as some questions for you regarding the level of interest you have in making some site visits and taking on some conversation with staff on the nature of the information you're going to need in order to make your decisions on the Water Storage Improvement Investment Program. So starting with those things that we're pretty certain will be coming before you, the first is the update of your strategic plan. As you know, your strategic plan was adopted in 2012, and there is a policy in there that you will update it every 5 years. So here it is, 2017 already. And while the goals are probably still appropriate and are timely, you may want to take a look at strategies and maybe develop some near and long-term strategies for achieving some of your policy goals with regard to the Water Storage Investment Program or some of your other policy areas that you have responsibility for. We also know that DWR will be bringing at least one set of regulations before you on water loss. That will be in probably April for your approval, but we're looking at next month having a briefing for you on those regulations.
What does that mean, water loss?
Water loss? I think it has to do with SGMA. And I am not the expert on this. But I believe their staff were here last year. You had a briefing on it last year?
We very well may have.
I think you did. I think you did. Todd Thompson.
It's a regulation that DWR is required to produce on water loss in municipal systems and validating the audits of the water loss. You were briefed on it in, I believe, November 2016.
So things like breakages and leaks and waste.
Right, coming under the Water Use Efficiency Program. Another issue that will be before you possibly this year are some updates to the Delta Plan that the Delta Stewardship Council is contemplating. At this point, we are still, acting executive officer is working with the Stewardship Council to determine your role in those Delta Plan amendments. And once we have clarity on that, she'll be bringing some recommendations to you regarding joint meetings or workshops on those Delta Plan amendments. Those pertain to water storage, conveyance, and operations in the Delta, as well as investments in Delta levies and priorities for state funding.
You know, I might let me just say that this is what you were asking about, Joe, a little bit, is an overview of the Delta. And this gets to something that I mentioned last week to some of the staff, and that is that I think that having presentations like this is really valuable for this commission, because our role in working with the public is to create better public understanding of the different parts of the California water system. And I think that this can provide an incredible opportunity to demystify, perhaps, and sort of speak about the facts related to what's going on with the Delta. And really, I hope that conversations like this could help us come up with statements that can be repeated and remembered that are actually either state problems accurately or state, you know, approaches and goals and solutions accurately. And so I really hope that we're able to do this with the Delta Stewardship Council. I think, and the Delta is just a perfect example because it's just so central to everything we talk about in water, or much of what we talk about in water in California. And, you know, this brings up some really interesting associated projects like the new Yolo Bypass, you know, the weir that's now operating, and it was amazing coming over on the train from the Bay Area today and seeing, you know, the flooded Yolo Bypass. It was wonderful. But seeing, really being able to put the Delta in context for the public, for members of the media, for our communications, I think is an invaluable service that we should be encouraging. So thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you. Those are really good suggestions. And we will take advantage of your forum for doing that, I think. Another item or set of items that you will probably be getting informational briefings on would be some of the things you've been talking about with regard to the State Water Project, but also other required reporting that DWR or possibly other agencies need to make to you. For example, the water plan update is happening this year, so we imagine that you'll receive one or more briefings on that process. There are various activities going on with SGMA, and including milestones that need to be met this year and money that needs to be disbursed, so we anticipate bringing you briefings and updates on those activities. The second area of discussion would be your level of interest in making some site visits regarding your state water project oversight authority. And we thought it might be useful to plan some of those visits, take your temperature on when and if you would like to make site visits and get that planning going now. The site visits are an opportunity for greater public interaction. You might be able to hold one or more of your regular commission meetings at a site, and also see for yourself some examples of projects that you might see as public benefits in the water supply investment program projects, such things as recreational facilities or ecosystem restoration projects or even groundwater recharge projects. A couple of ideas might be to take a trip on the newly commissioned Delta Research Vessel, which is a fully equipped floating laboratory in the Delta. Another option might be to go to some of DWR's properties in the Delta where there are restoration projects underway. And, of course, you've mentioned in your conversations about the State Water Project annual review that you're interested in the solar energy use and the solar production, and that suggests there might be some possible site visits in that category of renewable energy generation or possibly greenhouse gas reduction opportunities for the department. So in your conversations today, we would really welcome your input on those site visits and your interest in taking us up on any of those ideas or giving us your ideas. And then the last category of activities would be the briefings and updates as the WISP program begins to take place. That would be During the application period, we anticipate a number of staff activities and outreach and technical support to applicants. We would bring you briefings on those activities. Also, we will brief you on the development of an MOU with the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the State Water Board as to the information to be shared with you as they negotiate those contracts for the administration of public benefits. We also would bring you regular updates on activities of coordination amongst your staff and those other departments during the application review process. And then last, certainly not least, we would want to have a dialogue with you regarding the level and the nature of the information that you will need to make your decisions next year as you evaluate eligibility and public benefits ratios and maximum eligibility awards for these projects. So as we move forward in the review process and the application process, the program manager, Joe, or his successor will be bringing to you some information about the results of the review and how that information will be delivered to you and in what format and in what level of detail for your use in your deliberations. So with that, that's my report, and I'd welcome any conversation about the work plan. Thank you.
Commissioner Ball.
So thank you very much for that. I was actually wondering what we're going to do in 2017. And I think you've come up with a lot of really good suggestions, and I'd just like to give you my feedback. Obviously, the strategic plan is something that we're going to receive recommendations from you on to review. I assume, is that going to come next meeting?
If not next meeting, then very soon thereafter. It looks like next meeting is going to be a pretty full agenda, but we'll see what
okay.
we can do.
All right. Water loss is interesting. I was wondering if that also referred to the amount of evaporation that's taking place on the State Water Project, and that comes back to the statements earlier about covering portions of that with solar panels. You get a double benefit. So I think that certainly water loss is interesting. Power generation is very interesting in the use of solar for power generation. I think can all be tied together. I have always found the site visits to be extremely valuable. I've learned a lot about the State Water Project and the water systems, and also receiving the feedback from the local operators has been really invaluable. In fact, that's what led us to better understand the need to increase the wage of an apprentice going to journeyman so we didn't lose those workers. And that's provided it's really satisfying to see that that's worked out so well based upon the visits that we took and the action that we took. I would like to see portions of the State Water Project. I'd actually like to go up to Oroville possibly and take a look at that. It seems like there's a lot going on there, and I think that the north of Delta operations, especially based upon the public comments that we heard today about sites, how that all ties together, that'd be beneficial. I think the Delta Research Vessel sounds great. It sounds like fun. And I certainly seen some of these ecosystem restoration projects that, you know, looking at what's been done and what the tangible benefit has been, to be able to see that up front would be, you know, closely would be, I think, valuable. So all great ideas.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Quintero.
So a couple of comments. You know, one of them is that as we've developed the water systems in California, we really have been doing all of that, as we all know, through a long period of abundance. And now we're facing serious periods of scarcity. And so we really have to think very carefully about what we're doing. And so I would actually like to see if there's some way of identifying what the critical gaps are right now that are appearing as we look at things like, you know, we're developing these GSAs. well, you know, the GSAs are looking how they're going to manage groundwater, but really what's the connection, for example, for those GSAs to upstream water? What does that really look like, and do they have the information? What information are they going to need to really be able to take advantage of opportunities to bring water down into those aquifers? And what that actually brings up for me is I think the category that this would fit under is that California, it's time for California to have a robust water information system that really tells us how much water is in the system and where is it going. You know, things like the water releases at a lot of our dams, as you all know, that's determined by rule curves, you know, that really aren't looking at actual amount of water that's upstream. And so during this drought, there were periods where some of the big reservoirs released water because, you know, it said that in April, if the water's at this point, you've got to release, you know, 10% of it. When in fact, looking up the hills, we knew there was no water upstream. And we, you know, didn't need to be held to that. So I think that I would really like to know what DWR is, what the conversations are around future planning for smart, effective, robust water information systems for the state. Because when you look at the folks in ag and in our communities with municipal water systems and such, everybody's got their systems down, and we're all doing our accounting, right? I mean, we know what the balance is, what our balance sheet is in terms of how much water we need. But as soon as you get behind the dam, it's a guess. It's guesswork. And so I think that somehow we need to start formally looking at how we, and this is no mystery. I mean, Israel does this. You know, Israel and Australia have built pretty good information systems. And so I would like to know what the approaches are. And this is really sort of future looking in terms of gaps that we need to address in order to make the water systems in California that we're trying to manage really as efficient as possible. And so anyway, that I sort of went all over the place here, but I think that that's a pretty good topic for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's information systems that give us the facts on which we can make decisions. And then I'll actually mention one other thing, and I think the Delta was a very good example of what I think the commission can bring to the public in terms of creating regional understanding about water issues. And something that I mentioned again in a phone call with staff a few days ago was, you know, I think it would be very interesting, for example, to have a presentation done on a Sierran watershed system and the adjacent groundwater systems that are connected to that, with an overview that actually gives us the you know, sort of a comprehensive understanding how that system works. And so, as an example, at the bottom of all these big river systems coming out of the Sierra, there's these huge alluvial plains, these sort of delta-shaped big gravel and boulder things that sort of deltas that are underground. They're beneath the valley floor. And what happened is, historically, when you had big, you know, floods coming out of the Sierra, what would happen is these floods would carve basically these valleys in these big gravel deltas. And over time, the valley filled up, and those sort of veins are still there. But in California, I'm aware that we only know of two of those. One of them is the Kings River, and I think the other one is below the Cosumnes. And so, you know, it's basic information. You see what I'm saying? That where we really should have good maps of the watersheds, the adjacent groundwater systems, and the mechanisms for being able to measure how that system is working in terms of water. Because we talk about, oftentimes the conversations about water in California are conflating things like North Coast rivers that aren't even connected to the rest of California, along with, you know, Central Valley and North Sacramento Valley and the San Joaquin Valley. And I think that we really need to create better understanding about the regional water systems on which we rely, and so to make that hopefully a little bit clearer, I think it would be interesting, for example, to have a presentation on a specific watershed, let's say the Kings River, and the Kings River and the Kings River Basin below. And so what are the issues that they're dealing with there? And that'll translate to the other systems in the state. And we need to be giving, I think, the citizens of the state a better understanding of this. You know, one of my favorite cartoons that I saw recently was a cartoon, I think it was in the New Yorker, and it said, where my water comes from, and it shows rain and snow in the mountains, and then there's this big box that's a dot, and then there's a faucet, and the box has an arrow going to it and says, I don't know what's in here. You know, and I think that's the kind of thing that would be good to clarify in a system sort of way. If that, so I went on for a long time, but I think I think that we need to educate the public about what we're dealing with as a state, and in a way that's effective.
I'll stop.
Commissioner Baker.
A couple thoughts. I do like the idea of doing site visits. As someone who's read way more BC budget change proposals than I'd ever thought I'd do.
Are you still reading them, or just historically speaking?
I dream about them.
Some of the big ones.
Are those nightmares? Or?
A little of both, I think. But, you know, reading issues on a piece of paper is much, much different than actually going to the site, and you get a much better appreciation of what is trying to be, you know, what the goal is, what the department is trying to accomplish. So I would be one who would really advocate for site visits, and I think combining them with a commission meeting really gives the public an opportunity, you know, people who can't come up to Sacramento and talk to us, it gives us an opportunity to go out and visit those communities and those entities. And then I think the discussion thus far, which has been very good, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out how it would organize itself in a work plan, because it really reflects all the complexities, the nuances of water issues in California. And so I was wondering if it makes sense to have maybe a sub-working group or a subcommittee, I guess, maybe to help staff put together a draft work plan, and maybe in a way that, you know, we should have a presentation on this subject before we have the next one, versus kind of maybe jumping around. I don't know if that makes sense, and I'm not sure about all the intricacies or the rules of engagement on a subcommittee, but I myself would be happy to participate in something like that. Thank you.
Commissioner Herrera?
I think that's a good suggestion. My comments is just around the mentioning of incorporating SGMA's, you know, briefings in our calendar. I'm glad to hear that, you know, especially given the Commission's role in approving regulations for that program. As you mentioned, there are some milestones that will be achieved this year. Right now, you know, the GSAs are sort of in the formation process, so DWR is receiving notifications. And I, for one, am one that is very interested in learning more about how that's going. You know, are the locals able to properly follow the notification process that's in the regulations? And then also, you spoke about funding, and I know there's some upcoming funding to help with GSP development and also provide technical assistance, but which would be good to get an update on that, where, you know, where the department is with releasing that money and what's the anticipated schedule. However, there is some funding that has already been awarded that I'm interested in getting an update on how that's going. Particularly, there was funding for counties in stress basins for SGMA planning. I know there was, I believe it was over $6 million that the department awarded to about 23 counties, so I'm interested in getting an update on that, on those efforts. And then similar, the department, I think, and also the State Water Board has been providing facilitation services to help with the GSA formation. So I'd also like, I'm interested in getting an update on how that those efforts are going as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Curtin?
Yeah, this has been a fun conversation. I think we've lost the audience, but probably good. If everybody would leave, we could really
just the staff
get into
on
the,
there.
Into the you know, it's one of the first we've had in a while where we didn't have deadlines and we're really picking apart language. But it's really been great. My theory here has been that we have to keep sight of from the overview, and you know, they always say the 30,000 foot level, which is where the rain comes in. We have an interesting mix on the commission because we do have people who are at the academic point, and we have people at the delivery point, and we have people in interacted in legislation and construction of projects. So all of the stuff you presented, I think, is interesting. I'm interested just specifically in the groundwater stuff. So I don't want to add, and of course the energy. So, but we somehow have to keep in mind that they're going to be doing a lot of work here, mm-hmm. preparing for what is our fundamental charge at this point, which is the water infrastructure, the water WISP program, whatever. There you go. Thank you. See, that's why we have everybody, because I can't remember any of that stuff. I remember what it is, but how you say it, I don't remember. So I've always looked at the Water Storage Investment Program as the vehicle that this commission has to try to get the state to where I believe fundamentally it needs to get to, which will probably never happen, but it's centrally to look at the state as an integrated water system. Yep. And we have, 4,500 water agencies in the state. When their groundwater, the GSAs, groundwater sustainability agencies, they look at their program,
Right.
And what you said, are they looking upstream? Well, they're having a hard enough time looking at getting their program together, then try to figure out how the woman who gave us the presentation, Linda Dorn, from the Sacramento Sanitation Agency, how they're going to handle their problems. So it's sort of up to us to try to help people, or I don't want to say force because we don't have that authority, but SGMA, between SGMA and the Integrated Water Management System, which is something we've heard about quite a bit before, which was DWR's effort to try to get people to think in a watershed way and then maybe act in a watershed way, and they had some money to help people along. That's usually a good tool to work with. Well, we have a little money. So I know I've probably been a broken record, but my concept of when we award this money is we need to we've got some big issues to deal with, but the more we can use the money to push for an integrated approach. And I've talked to some of the project proponents, and I've said, look, you can't, you've got a project to deliver, and you can't actually deliver another project that might integrate, but could you show us how your project would integrate if we could get flood control changes, if we could get enhanced groundwater deliveries, if we could get an upper watershed management program to fit with a surface storage program. Not that they actually can or will be able to do it, but for instance, the sites, we've heard how sites will affect Folsom and the impact that will have on the communities that rely on Folsom. So for me, and it's always hard to get my head around this, how do we take what we have and use it to help integrate the system as much as we possibly can? If we can't do it in actuality, can we get these separate agencies to start thinking about how it might happen? And then people in the legislature, you know, that's the other thing, you know, they might start saying, okay, well, maybe we need to look at how flood control impacts on groundwater. It's an enormously complicated system. But the one thing I want to make sure, I love the Delta Research concept, and if we do that, we should do it in conjunction with Joe's thought about how is the role of the Delta, what's happening. We can meet down there. But we have to make sure we don't overburden the staff with these incredibly good ideas. You know, I'd love all of it, because I think really what we got to do is figure out how to get, you know, we're going to get our regs in finally. I mean, we had a year and a half to do our regs, and we had nanoseconds left. We did before we had to get the dang things in. We didn't have any room to maneuver there. I mean, we maneuvered for a year and a half, but if we get too carried away here, our mission is to get those regs done, start figuring out how to get those project proponents in, and I'm particularly interested in working with some groundwater agencies for groundwater capture, and maybe we can help David Orskin come up with some ideas about how flood control works, especially in the Kings River area there. That could be a fantastic model for groundwater storage, flood control, and maybe upper watershed changes. So it's just enormous amount of potential, but we do have to remember that the last four bullets here, we got to get these applications in, we got to know how to analyze them, and then we got to start moving some money and figuring out how to do it in the most effective way. And if we did nothing else, it would be a monstrous accomplishment. So I'm looking at the remaining staff, Brianna,
Jennifer,
Holly, Jennifer. You know, let's keep all of that in mind. And we'll keep all these ideas on the table, but somehow we got to manage to actually do the core production here. Absolutely. And if we did everything else and we didn't do the WISP, we'd all need a one-way ticket out of town, to be honest.
Right. And don't forget about Chris, too. You've got...
Oh, we got Chris.
Chris is
remaining
staff.
You're so far back. I thought you left. I thought you had enough of the conversation already.
You know, I completely agree with what you said, Danny. But I also think that in light of all of these storage projects, we need to know what the impediments are for each of those projects.
Yeah, yeah.
And what are the solutions? Is it a legislative solution? Is it and understanding that, I think, is also going to give us a work plan, because it's not all going to be done here. And I want to know what that list is of impediments with these.
If I may.
Money.
Yeah, well, money is a big one, but we're going to see that. And we're not going to get there's going to be a lot of answers we're just not going to get. So the way I want to look at this from personally, and I've been saying the same thing, you know, it's like, again, a broken record. I want to know what the potential for integration, so that when the pressure continues to build, because I believe, as you do, Armando, that the pressure is going to build, the systems are changing. It's going to be dry, 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 and then massive wet without a lot of snow, and how do we maximize that?
Well, I'll give you an example. I think there's also new knowledge that's appearing while everybody's doing this, and as these GSAs form, somebody's going to figure out a solution to a problem that's going to benefit other GSAs and those sorts of things. I'll give you one example that I'm aware of. There's a project over in Monterey where some researchers working with some landowners in the local water agency have actually figured out a way to credit a landowner with the water that the landowner is recharging on his property.
Right.
So there's a financial incentive to put water down in the ground at this GSA. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
And so there's all these models that I think are going to be very interesting, and as a commission, I think it'll be really important to bring that up.
Well, I also think that these groundwater agencies, as they we're breaking new ground here. They never were forced to monitor their groundwater. Now we're going to find out what's the groundwater situation. I think we're going to discover massive potential for storage. And now we have to figure out how do we get the water to the storage capabilities, not only to percolate but perhaps pump. But it's a series of changes that have to be made. So anyway, I know Carol's trying to jump in here.
Okay.
I was going to say that I also like the idea of, you know, most of the work plan being focused towards giving us the tools and information that we need when we have to evaluate the applications that come in. So maybe that can be kind of besides some of the other ongoing things that will come in from DWR on the natural, that can kind of be a goal for the work plan, and kind of an overarching goal. And then on the Integrated Regional Water Management Program, that's been around for a while, and they have gotten substantial funding. I think it was either the state board and or the water water, the state board or and or DWR, and I'm kind of blanking.
DWR.
Was it DWR? Yeah. So it might be, given our, you know, if we agree that we have an overarching goal of getting information that helps us with the application review, to maybe have DWR, if it's helpful, to have DWR come in and maybe describe what they're doing with the Integrated Regional Water Management Program as it applies to the WISP program. Because I think one of the components or the is that integration. I think looking at other programs that have been funded by the state, I think that we kind of give that a nod in the regulations. So I just kind of put that out there as a suggestion.
And for me, I think Danny brought up a lot of things that we have a lot of heavy lifting to do this year. But for me, I want to keep one eye on the drought. I always keep one here on the ground listening to people about the drought, not only from my neighbors who are pretty loud, but even from 300 miles south from people down there who don't understand it. And if we have way above normal precipitation, snowpack, and reservoirs, and they're still in a drought, they're going to want to know why. And so that's why I think that that we need to demystify the delta a little bit, so we can understand and they can understand why we are where we may be in 2 months or 6 months. So I won't overdo this thing on the delta anymore, but it's an extremely important place for those 23 million people that get some of their water from the delta and 3 million acres of farmland that also get some water from there. The other thing that I'd like to hear about a little bit is, and this kind of comes back a little bit to SGMA, is some of the groundwater recharge pilot programs or projects that have been out there. I think some have been done with the cooperation of the Almond Board about trying groundwater recharge in orchards or vineyards or whatever. Like to listen to that a little bit somewhere along the way, see how that's working, and see what can be done so that can be expanded on a much larger scale. Because as we know, throughout the San Joaquin Valley, there's a lot of places where the groundwater has been greatly lowered and is in need of recharge, and this seems like the way to get it done. We're not going to have wet years like this every year, but when we do have wet years and there's a lot of flow in the streams and rivers, we got to see how we can get some of that water to recharge some of the depleted aquifers. So that's kind of what I'm thinking of.
The group working with the Almond Board is Sustainable Conservation, right? So they're the ones that could come and do a presentation with folks from the various ag communities, and they have some ranchers and farmers particularly that could come in with them and do a presentation, sure. I think. That'd be good.
I think they're headed in the right direction.
I have a question. With all of this water, and you mentioned, you know, the need to take the wet years and recharge the aquifers. When we went down to Fresno and all those families came in and said that their wells were dry, have those wells started producing?
I don't think so. Have you heard anything? Those things are, they take a long time to recover.
Some can never recover.
I think if any start recovering, it's probably going to start happening in the East Porterville area, because those are sort of the ones next to the river that are the most shallow than any others. But you know, for us in our area, the drought is still there, and there's still families currently without water, and many more at risk.
You know, that's something that's important, is we need to distinguish between the surface water drought and the groundwater drought. Because the surface water drought, when people say, oh, the drought's over, they're talking about surface water. The groundwater drought, we're just beginning to address. And so that's the kind of stuff that I think we need to be saying out loud to folks, because it's
the perceptions are off, I think.
Yeah, I agree. We should make it a priority to understand that the degree to which we have depleted these vast reservoirs and aquifers, and that they have not been regenerated and they're not going to unless we take an active step towards making sure that that happens.
And I think most people will tell you that that groundwater depletion is as a result of the surface water drought.
Right.
Because if they have surface water, they don't pump. And when they don't have surface water, they pump. And so since 2009, we've really only had, before this one, one pretty wet year. That was 2011. Other than that, most of the agricultural areas in the not only San Joaquin Valley, but even in the Sacramento Valley, I would say 3 to 4 million acres that was that had steep water reductions, and those folks started resorting to groundwater pumping, and it's going to take a while to recover. So one of the things that, I mean, obviously the rain and precipitation does help, but it's very slow. Mm-hmm. Groundwater recharge could probably speed that up a little bit when we have so much runoff.
But I would actually say, I mean, you bring up an interesting point that can create, I think, some confusion, and that is that if we had been managing groundwater for the last 50 years, we probably wouldn't have a problem because we would have entered this drought with those groundwater basins hopefully fairly well charged. And so, and that's the kind of thing we're trying to address, I think, as a state, is let's prepare for the next drought. And so that's the kind of thing, I think what you just said, Joe, is really important because if we had been actively managing these groundwater aquifers for the last 50 years, it would have been exactly what we needed to do, which was to use that groundwater as a reserve during a drought.
So the groundwater issue is not really new. I mean, I like to use the picture of the old farmer standing by the telephone pole.
It's a USGS geologist.
Okay, well, I like to say he's an old farmer, but he's an old USGS geologist, and the ground has dropped like 50 feet. So I know the Monterey Peninsula had groundwater issues, and they've done a lot of good work, and I think the dam up in your area there was originally designed and did for a long period of time stabilize the groundwater, the Fryant Dam.
That was
dam.
Fryant. That's why Fryant was
right,
built.
Right, that's why it was built. So it's not like it's not been known about. But we have a new paradigm here, which is co-equal goals. And SGMA is the first time we've actually stepped in. So it's very complicated, and it's a constant political struggle because there's so many interests involved, economic and otherwise. But now we're at a different stage. It's still, I don't think the public necessarily recognizes it, but we have a little bit of tools here. We can certainly, we can make some concrete efforts to address this by, as we go forward, trying to connect our storage concerns with above ground and below ground storage and the connectivity issues between those things. So it's not like nobody's ever thought about this, and if we just put out a couple of press releases, we'll shake up the whole world. This is this is sort of a death fight. It's been going on for 100 years, more or less, and it's going to continue.
Well, and I think what we're talking about actually is almost a checklist for what are the things that we need to talk about on each of these projects. And something that we have not talked about, which is critical, especially around groundwater, and the various things that have happened with groundwater, particularly in the San Joaquin Valley, but it's happened in other basins in the state as well, and that is water quality. And one of the things that we don't know is as we, as a state, start actively managing groundwater basins, we actually don't know what's going to happen when we start putting water back in there, because what's the quality of the water that we're going to put in there? What's going to be the reaction of the geology in there? Because I know that there are some areas where when they've been dried out and then you re-wet them, and what happens is the conditions are different and you get releases of things like chromium and mercury and all these other things. So, we haven't even talked about that. So I think that we may want to, is that fair? I think what would be helpful is for us to have a checklist, perhaps, when we talk about each project to make sure that we're putting everything on the scales that we're playing with, to make sure that we're, anyway. So.
Any other comments? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all of this feedback. This is very helpful for all of us as staff, and particularly the opportunity to just hear what really is of interest for commissioners. As Commissioner Curtin had said, each of the commissioners bring a very different and unique kind of vision of their role of the commission, and they bring in expertise. And so our role really as staff is to pull together kind of the priorities of things that will be coming before you, and working with everything that you can bring to the table, and how do we make sure that the education of all of the members is happening very fluidly and is all very focused on conversations and decisions that will need to be made. So that's going to be the main driver, as you know and as you've been saying, and we will take everything that you've said here today and kind of filter through, probably put some kind of boundaries around some of them and some kind of bucket lists, if you will. We really appreciate, again, the level of dedication you have to these issues, particularly knowing that having looked at groundwater and working on those regulations, and then where does the commission want to go with its continuing role, for example, and how that plays into water storage investment program. I will make just, this is something I'll be saying and will be saying as we go through. I do want to tread very carefully around connections to potential projects and interactions with project proponents on these things. I want to make sure that we go about things very objectively, so we'll be managing the types of tours and site visits or things like that in a way, in a manner that is more global as opposed to specific. Mm-hmm. So right now what I would say, Jennifer, thank you very much for spearheading this, this draft, and what we'd like to do then as staff is to go back, pull some things together again, and come back in February with an updated list. Now, if I may go back to something that Commissioner Baker had mentioned, if the commission has an interest in perhaps identifying a lead commissioner to perhaps work with staff in a way that staff can then utilize that commissioner for, I'd say, more direction in between now and the meeting, we'll happily accept that. And if I don't know if that's necessarily an action as much as a voluntary thing, but
we have a volunteer.
I volunteer
tomorrow.
Every 10 seconds.
Done. Well, Commissioner Baker, we look forward to talking with you more on this.
Couldn't it be said that any commissioner really wants to get into the DWR and talk to the people at Bathurst, they should feel free to do that.
That's absolutely true, and we as staff will
run it by the chairman, whoever, where Joe's coming back, and just make sure so we're not out there giving too many directions. But anybody really should step up. This is the time.
Please feel free to communicate with me at any time about interests that you have, people you'd like to be connected with, whether it's at the department or with other state agencies. This is what we're here to do, is help make those connections for you.
All right, we got one more item, item 9. Consideration of items for the next meeting. And if I may talk a little bit about the election of the commission chair and vice chair, I would like to propose that we're going to bring it up in February, so because we don't have all of our commissioners here, it'd be good to wait until then.
Sure. Yes. I'm going to be out of the country on our February meeting.
We're going to elect you, buddy. Somebody's got to pay the price.
All right. And then update on DWR's water loss regulations. Is that something that we have to approve?
I believe it is something that we will approve. It's one of those rare opportunities of approving regulations, yes.
Okay, and what is the timeline for that?
You know, this, my understanding is that they'll be briefing us in February, but April is when they hope to have the regulations. So I think this is just the initial presentation, so there'll be opportunities for interaction from the commissioners on that.
All And this is nothing that we have to go through all this public comment period and all that stuff?
It'll be a typical commission meeting in which, of course, this is that public forum where the presentation will happen and the public can comment. But it is not going to be the same thing as the commission creating its own regulations like you did with the water storage investment program.
Okay.
And then additionally, as we said, the 2017 work plan will come back to you. In addition, the State Water Project report will be edited, and we'll have perhaps further conversation and possibly adoption of that at that time.
Okay. Anyone have any comments, or we commented a lot today?
Yes. Yeah,
a lot of discussion here today. That was good. Okay, then
move to adjourn.
Got to move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great.
That's it.
See.